there is this huge divide between those who have a lot and those who have a little. And it's obvious. Even here at church, there's this sense that you must put your best foot forward in what you wear and how you present yourself in public, how you've been able to control all the chaos of your life. We may not outwardly say you aren't welcome if you haven't showered, but I wonder how long that person would feel welcome in our midst. It's cringy to admit it. Just like this gospel is cringy. Because Jesus is so human here. He's trying to hide and rest in this house, and this woman comes and asks for his help, and he says no? This feels shocking. This is not how Jesus is supposed to act, because God loves everyone. Or is Philomena right with her song that God loves me more than you? It's surprising to me that the disciples aren't more shocked, but actually this probably, you know, like this tracks. He was acting like everyone else did at the time. For this woman was about as an outsider as you could get. She was non-Jewish. She was possibly wealthy of a different class. And she was a woman. So yeah, Jesus sent her out. And when she does not take no for an answer, Jesus takes it a step further to call her a dog. And while I love my dog 95% of the time, that other 5% I'm really annoyed because he's constantly under our kitchen table stealing Phoebe's food, just like little Bruin here. A dog was not a term of endearment in Jesus' day. Dogs carried disease and germs. They were not beloved pampered pets. They were bug-bitten scavengers. Jesus calling this woman a dog was intended to be a racial slur. This was meant to scare her away. And even this does not stop her from asking for help. I imagine she looks Jesus right in the eye, and she says this incredible line, "Sir, even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the children's table." Sorry, I messed that up. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And it's like from this moment of truth-telling, everything changes. Jesus is forced to see this woman as a person and is filled with compassion. Her daughter is healed. And from this moment, Jesus' whole ministry pivots from being within the Jewish family outward. It doesn't take long in the very next verse. He is in Gentile territory in the other direction. And we get this incredible Greek word that I can't pronounce, ephphatha. Jesus' ministry is literally opened to the non-Gentile world, to the non-Jewish community. And this healing happens through an opening, a physical opening of ears. The disciples' hearts are now opened to a wider community. And we too are invited to think about what it means to be open to something wide and new and strange and sometimes even smelly. You know, James, like I mentioned last week, Martin Luther hated James, book of straw. Works, faith, you know, it is about grace, absolutely. But James writes that when we make these distinctions on who matters based on wealth or status or age or race or gender or really anything, all these divisions deaden our faith. And I want to be clear, we're Lutherans here. We live in the land of grace. God will continue to love you no matter what. No matter how many walls or divisions or distinctions we try to put in place between us and them, God's going to love you. And there's nothing that you could ever do to change that. However, because God loves us so terribly much, God knows how painful these barriers are, how they distract us, how they harm us and hurt us and cut us off from being the people of God that God created us to be, a people of community and care, where all are welcome, all have something to contribute, all deserve dignity and respect and care, and all are to be included in the family. And so today, God invites us to be open, to stop looking inward and look at our neighbors in need. Perhaps it's that Saint Syrophoenician woman that first gives us this invitation, and then Jesus follows suit. He even, you know, changes his ways, kind of almost like an apology. And so we are invited to live this way too, to pry everything open. Open our wallets and our calendars. Open our hearts and our ears, our hands and our feet. Today, Lutherans across the country are doing this thing called God's Work, Our Hands. The jazz hands are optional. But here at Faith, we are dedicating our time and our hands to Global Refuge this morning. Global Refuge, up until about a year ago, was known as Lutheran Immigration Refugee Services. And this organization started after World War II, resettling German Lutherans all across the United States. And this work continues today, resettling refugees and asylum seekers from all over the world. Afghanistan, Ukraine, Venezuela. Their website has a ton of really good videos where you can hear these firsthand encounters of what these folks go through. But they leave unimaginable situations, leaving all they know behind, their homes, their jobs, their families, much of their worldly possessions, often risking their lives. Many describe that the immigration system they encounter once they get here is harrowing. The few belongings that they have tracked with them that haven't been stolen away are often taken away and thrown away. They are packed like sardines into these small rooms that feel like prison cells. And no one tells them how long they will have to wait. Sometimes it's a few hours, sometimes it is weeks. And once they are processed, deemed officially here by asylum because their home situation is just too chaotic and violent, they're dumped off somewhere to try and figure out everything on their own. And so Global Refuge steps in. They offer a safe place to land once they're out of the custom processing. They offer a bed and a meal, help with transit to find their loved ones, legal support and job training, and sometimes English language learning, a wide welcome of dignity. Today, we're going to support their work by packing these bags. And so when Global Refuge greets them, they will be handed a bag with a clean sweatshirt, clean sweatpants, fresh underwear, and socks. Clean, dry socks. And we know that clean clothes are not going to fix our broken immigration system. But dear ones, a clean pair of underwear at least gives you your dignity back. We have to start somewhere. And so I thank you today for showing up, for help supporting this project with your finances and with your hands, for being open to someone else's story. And together we pray that these bags will make a difference to somebody. We'll let them know that they are welcome, that they have purpose, that they are loved by God and by strangers who may never meet them. Now, I started my sermon with a story from one nun, and I want to end with this blessing from another nun, Teresa of Avila. She was a Christian mystic and a nun, and she has this beautiful blessing about being God's hands. And so I invite you to roll back your shoulders and close your eyes and open your hands in your lap and receive this blessing as we prepare our hearts and minds to serve today. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks on compassion with this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks on compassion on this world. For Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And all God's people said, amen.